Standing in just the... Still standing in just the wrong place. Just turn that one away slightly. Thank you, John. Thank you, Lottie and Tata, for our readings. In 1300, King Edward I passed a law stating that any precious metal that was sold had to bear a mark testifying to its purity and provenance. And from that day and onwards, we have hallmarks. Now then, I don't know if there are any children who would like to help me with this. Anybody know anything about hallmarks? Lydia, do you know anything about hallmarks? No? You going to come and help me or not? You don't have to if you don't want to. Okay. Can you see the marks on this spoon? This is a millennium spoon which was given to Lottie. Okay, in the middle there, in the shape of a cross, you have 2000, which is the year that it was made. Down here, can you see what that is? How good's your eyesight? No? No hope? You ever use one of these? A loop. If you get really close into that, can you see what it is? You have to get as close to the... The Tudor rose, isn't it? Okay, the Tudor rose tells us that this is Sheffield silver. What's that one, Lottie?
A lion
tells us that it's English. What does that one say? Oops, can you see?
I can't see it.
You can't see it. Can you see that one?
925.
925 is the purity of the metal. And the last one up in that corner, can you see that? You have to get really close in.
Not really.
Okay, that one says WY, which is the manufacturer. That's the person who actually made the spoon. That's his mark. So that's the hallmark. Now, if you clean your hallmarks nicely, they're nice and clear. Can you see what that hallmark says?
No.
Even with a loop, can you see what that hallmark says?
No.
Okay, because this one hasn't been cleaned properly. That hallmark is completely illegible. Thank you. In fact, don't go too far away. Because the other thing we have, how do we know that that's real? Because we rely on this a lot, don't we? Okay, there's a watermark if you hold it up to the light. You see the watermark? The watermark has a pound sign and the figure 20 and, of course, the Queen's head on there. I also have in my pocket... No, not chocolate. And it's not a diamond either, but this represents a diamond. Because with diamonds nowadays... This has not a watermark in it, but normally around the edge, which what's called the girdle, the fattest part of the stone, there is normally a number engraved, which is a unique number to that diamond. And older diamonds don't have the GIA mark, but what they will normally have is a map that accompanies the diamond of the occlusions in it, the little imperfections in the stone. And again, that map is unique to that diamond, just as the GIA marking around the girdle of it would be unique to that stone. And all of those are sorts of hallmarks. What was Jesus's hallmark? You might think that there is a hallmark of his teaching. Okay, what's the sign language sign for Jesus? Would you like to stand up and show everybody? Okay. like that. I can't do it because I've got my telephone there. Okay, that is the hallmark of Jesus, showing the nail marks in his palms. Now, I'm sure we all know the story of Thomas, doubting Thomas, who was not with the other disciples when the Lord appeared to them in the upper room for the first time. And when he was told that Jesus had appeared, he said, "I won't believe it until I have seen the marks and touched them with my own hands." And a week later, Thomas was with the disciples when Jesus appeared to them again, and Jesus invited him to see the marks, to touch the wound in his side. And because he saw, Thomas believed. And Jesus said to him, "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who believe even though they have not seen." So what will people see today? Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, and Jesus does appear to people today, but not every day. It's not a particularly regular occurrence. So what are people today going to see? They're going to see us. They're going to see us. And so, what are the marks of Christianity that we bear and that other people will see in us? Well, I would suggest that our readings today give us three good hallmarks. The first reading we had from Acts chapter 4, Lottie read in the first half of the first verse that she read, "All the believers were one in heart and mind." All the believers were one in heart and mind. No disunity, peace, harmony amongst all the disciples. What a wonderful testimony to Jesus that he can unite a family like that. So it's a challenge to us, isn't it? Are we united? Are we all one heart and mind? In Mark 3, verse 25, we read Jesus' words, "If a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand." Or as it's rendered in the Message, "A constantly squabbling family disintegrates." So we need to work on our unity. We need to maintain our unity. And in the second half of that first verse that Lottie read, it says, "They shared everything they had." Again, it's countercultural, isn't it, to share everything you had. I meant to stop off at the shop and buy a packet of Rolos. Lottie tells me that she loves Rolos. I'm sure there are one or two others who do. But do you remember that advertising campaign a few years back? Do you love somebody enough to give them your last Rolo? Are we happy? Would we be happy as Christians? I wouldn't say to share our last Rolo, because that's slightly unpleasant, isn't it? You know, one bite for me, one bite for you. But would you be happy to give your last Rolo away as a Christian? I love the verse from Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So maybe it would be in somebody else's interest to have that last Rolo. On to our second reading, 1 John 1. We need to be honest with ourselves, don't we? We need to be honest about who we are, how we are, what we are. We spent some time earlier in the service confessing our sins. And we need to be honest with ourselves about our sins. Because as John wrote, if we say that we do not sin, then we're on the wrong track. We're deceiving ourselves. I think people often, when it comes to a time of confession, sit there and think, well, I haven't broken any of the Ten Commandments yet this week. But we've got to look at smaller things as well, haven't we? And it's not just necessarily things that we've done wrong. Depends on how you define sin, I suppose. There are many definitions, but people tend to think about things that they feel guilty about. But actually, there are other things that we need to confess as well. We need to confess that we struggle with stuff. We need to confess that we doubt. Because if we try and delude ourselves that we're not struggling, that we're not doubting, then it makes us seem less real to people out there. We're just the same as them. It's just that we know that we need to come here on a Sunday morning. We know that we need to spend time in prayer. But if we're going to appeal to people out there, if they're going to see our hallmark, we need to be real. They need to know that we struggle. Romans 12, verse 3. Do not think about yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And if we are honest about ourselves, if we are aware of and admit our own fallenness, our own brokenness, then we'll make allowances for others as well, won't we? For their fallenness, for their brokenness, for their hurt, and for the way they sometimes react out of their hurt. Because we do it too. And as we make allowances, we will show them God's grace. In chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, we read, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And the measure you use will be used against you." Who of us here today would be happy to stand and be judged? I'm not going to stand and be judged. I don't know if you can hear me down here, can you? Have I cut out, Beck? Maybe I better stand up again. But I wouldn't want to stand and be judged. And so who am I to stand in judgment over anyone else? So unity, generosity, honesty about ourselves. Not saying that those are the only hallmarks, but these, I would suggest, are valid hallmarks. Hallmarks which we need to show clearly to other people. Maybe this week think about what your hallmarks are. Maybe there are those three, maybe there are other things. But think about them. And can I implore you not, as is the case with this spoon, to leave them dirty. Make sure that they are clearly visible to anyone who might be interested. Amen.